Kadosh. Remember, remember, Adonai Eloheinu.
Welcome to Romamu, an open-hearted Jewish community and house of worship, learning, and spiritual growth. You're listening to Romamu's podcast, where we share words of Torah, insights, and inspiration from Romamu clergy. Thank you for being with us.
The Torah of this week, my bar mitzvah parsha. I think for the last 20 years, I've said, if I could have had a bar mitzvah or could have redo, this is what I would say. But this year is a unique Shabbat. This Shabbat, we not only read chapter 6, the beginning of chapter 6, which is called Parshat Tzav, but it's also a special Shabbat because it's a Shabbat of Parshat Parah, the reading about the strange ritual known as the Red Heifer ritual from the Book of Numbers. And what brings these two moments together, chapter 6 of the Book of Leviticus, the Vayikra, Tzav, and Parshat Parah, is both of them are dealing with a messy thing, which is ashes. This Torah portion, my Torah portion, has what's known as Trumat HaDeshen, the mitzvah of the Kohen, the priest, every day, baboker, every morning we'd wake up, and after a holy burnt offering had spent the entire night on the burning altar and been reduced to ashes, the priest had to come and lift the ashes off of the altar and place them by the side of the altar. Ve'erim et ha'deshen, and he would lift up the deshen, the ashes, and then place them v'samo etzel ha'mizbech, right by the side of the altar. And in Parshat Parah, in the Red Heifer story in the Book of Numbers, we'll read about another holy consumed offering, and that is the Red Heifer. The Torah goes out of its way to let us know that this Red Heifer had to be a tamim, it had to be a completely unblemished animal. It couldn't have one white hair, it couldn't have anything about it that wasn't brown or red. And this Red Heifer becomes the centerpiece of a ritual that is supposed to cleanse someone who had come into contact with death, to free them of the quote-unquote the impurity or that stain or that whatever that is, that state of becoming into contact with death. And so these ashes of the perfect Red Heifer, this perfect animal, is completely reduced to ashes and then mixed together with life-giving waters and other ingredients and sprinkled on the one who has become Tamei Lameh, someone who come into contact with death. The reading of the Red Heifer on this Shabbat is supposed to be a commemoration of the actual ritual of the Red Heifer that allowed the Jewish people to enter into the temple precinct and have the Korban Pesach, that sacrifice of Passover that meant inclusion in the community. It's a radically inclusive possibility. Even if you had come into contact with death, you could be freed and brought into the community itself. This preoccupation with ashes, whether the ashes of the olah, of the holy burnt offering, or the ashes of the parah, speak to something that the Maggid of Mezrich, the great Hasidic Rebbe, the Maggid of Mezrich said, "Mi shetzarich la'esh yichapeis ba'afar." Let the one who needs fire search in the ashes. Let the one who needs fire search in the ashes. The Torah refuses to see the ashes. What once was, the remnants, the residue of that which was once pure and whole, as something that should be discarded, that can't be lifted up, that can't be elevated. I remember years ago giving a sermon called Ashes, Ashes, We All Fall Up. This parsha is, of course, about the aftermath of destruction, the aftermath of something that was complete, something that was pristine, that something that was whole, that is now no longer whole. And what do we do with those remnants, those residue? How do we rebuild from ashes? One of the most amazing things about the parsha tomorrow morning is that the priest had to lift up those ashes before he could, of course, offer anything new. The first thing we learn, said the Rebbe, is when the weight of the ashes is too much. We can't light a fire. It extinguishes us. The first thing we have to do is we have to make room, acknowledging that there are ashes on the altar, lifting them up, treating those ashes in a holy way, placing them gingerly, tenderly, with great affection by the side of the altar before we remove them, or maybe even seeing that they have a purpose, which is to be mixed with holy waters. Last week, I gave a sermon on Friday night that many, like many of my colleagues, like many other rabbis, placed my voice into a conversation about what I think and don't think is the healthiest way to think about this moment. It's super clear to me, and I think anyone else in a position of leadership now, that there are so many ashes on the altar of Jewish life. There's so many ashes on our heart. There's so much that has been destroyed and so much that we carry with us each and every day. And it certainly wasn't my intention last week. I certainly know that it isn't the intention of any rabbi to add more ashes to someone's already heavy load. All of us want to lift ashes. All of us want to find a way at this moment to mix together that heaviness of death with the life-giving waters of Torah and Jewish life in order to give us a way of walking into Pesach, into renewal, into spring. But it's hard because none of us are perfect. It's hard to give the perfect sermon that will make everybody feel that even though I disagree with you, I still love you. It's hard to give the perfect sermon and give the perfect teaching that will say to someone, even though I vehemently disagree with your position, you're still part of my community, it's part of this community, and that we're the stronger for those disagreements. But for better, for worse, I'm the rabbi, I'm the leader. It's very hard at this moment to know. I know speaking to someone today who went to see the Broadway show Ally, The Ally, which depicts a kind of multi-perspectival conversation between different parts of ourselves. It's really hard. And I'll just be super clear on how unclear I am. I feel very strongly about my positions, as do many of the people that wrote to me last week, both positively and critically. But in the world of Emmet, in the world of truth, it's really, really, we're all doing the best we can. In the world of truth, in a place like this, it's not really called the world of truth. This world is called by the Zohar Alma de Shikra, the world of lies. It's really, really difficult. But that can't stop us from expressing who we are. It can't stop us from caring. It can't stop us from, no matter what, expressing our opinions in a respectful and loving manner. I was talking to a friend of mine today who said that that is his inner Joe Lieberman. So of blessed memory, Joe Lieberman, my friend said, was someone who was always willing to listen to someone else's opinion, even if he disagreed with them. My friend said he embodied this position of having their focus on the sake of heaven. He believed very strongly in his positions, but he always left room to listen deeply, to entertain other perspectives. We're carrying those ashes. And each one on its own might not be that heavy, but when they begin to mount up, it's a lot. But the Torah tells us to lift up that sadness, to lift up those painful pieces, and to place them by the sacred altar, to remain within community, to stay in conversations, to refuse, no matter how strongly we feel, to demonize and to dehumanize the other, to mix our ashes together with life-giving waters. I had a taste of that this week. It was the first time since October 7th I actually had an interfaith gathering, two of them this week. That's two more than I've done since October 7th. And one of them was with the moderate Muslim group. And so together we sat down to break Ramadan fast with a wonderful community from Peace Islands Institute. And we read pieces of the tradition that they hold sacred, and we read pieces of our tradition, and we met people face to face, and we listened to one another. And thankfully, the current crisis didn't come up in some ways. Might have been too much to handle. But we connected in a human way, found out there were people up at Columbia University, these young students who came, they wanted to listen and talk to Jews and back and forth. So there is a way for us to mix those life-giving waters together with the ashes of perfection in order to bring about what's needed for what's next. Mi shetzarif la'esh yechapeth ba'afar. Let the one who needs fire search even in the ashes, even in the places of brokenness, even in the places of what once was, even in those places of wholeness. Let us seek the fire in that place too. I felt it tonight when we were dancing. I felt transported in a way that I haven't in a number of months, back to the Romamu and this community and many others like it from years ago or months ago, when people danced and flung off the ashes for a moment, seeking the water of life in each other's hands as they held together in the dance of a friend, in the hug of a new member. If you need fire, look in the ashes. Let's keep looking for the fire together. The Parsha Tzav that I just talked about, that has the beginning of it, has these dashes, has a moment in the beginning of the name of the Parsha, the moment where Tzav means to command. We can hear it in the word mitzvah, right? Mitzvah means commandment. Tzivui is to command. But in the later traditions of Judaism, what was a commandment becomes a connection point. The word tzav becomes in Aramaic tzavta, to make a connection. And the things that excite us the most, the things that animate us the most, the things that bring us to a place of connection with one another. And on this week of tzav, of commandedness, I think the connection is paramount. Connecting with one another and seeing one another. No one knows really what you're carrying or how many ashes are on your back. But God bless each and every one of us to help one another through connection, through tzivui, through tzav, lift what we have to lift and clear what we need to clear.
Thank you for listening. Want more content like this? Subscribe to our podcast and visit romamu.org to learn more about us. Please consider making a contribution to Romamu so we can continue to fulfill our mission to help spiritual seekers deepen their connection to Jewish wisdom and practice to help them become more compassionate human beings. We hope to see you in the synagogue or the Zoomagogue soon. Romamu, Romamu, Adonai.